Welcome to the Launch Plan Podcast, and I'm your host, Karthik. Launching a business or products online is not easy, but that's what we enjoy doing as solopreneurs and small business owners. We may not be successful every time, but success isn't what defines us. We learn, and that's why we keep showing up every single day to do what we love doing, to learn, to make a difference to our clients, and of course, make more money. And on this show, we help you do that. We help you build a rock-solid base so you can launch successfully and repeat it every single time. And we do that by helping you master the four areas of your business: your market, your message, your monetization, and your alliances. Market is all about your customers and clients and how well you understand them. The message is how well your market understands what you offer. Monetization is about how well you are able to turn your market awareness and messaging into money. And alliances is your ecosystem and how you build relationships with your clients, partners, and vendors. Grab your launch goodies and a 90-day plan at designyourthinking.com/plan and sit back, because we are just getting started. Let's now get down to business. Many thousands of years ago, we humans spent our days inside thick jungles, protecting ourselves from the danger of wild animals. And then came the industrial age. We no longer feared the wild animals that we once did. Instead, we started to watch out for other forms of danger. Danger that originated from fellow humans. The need to stay safe has been one of the core human needs that has kept us thriving as a species. But why are we talking about safety, fear, and humans today? Well, because that's the topic we started in the previous episode, the four-letter word called fear. And fear is not bad. It's the very thing that protects us and something that makes us feel empowered, apart from so many other things. But it's a problem for a tiny subset of us who also happen to be the listeners of this show. Well, as solopreneurs and business owners, we are out there to help our clients. But when it comes to selling our products or services, we hit a wall. It's a wall that our clients have built around them to protect themselves. The wall of fear. The question is then, how do we sell when all our clients want is to be safe? Well, it turns out that there's a way to do that too. No, the solution is never to try and use a bulldozer to break that wall. Well, I know that paints a very interesting visual image, but that seldom works. In fact, the more you think along those lines, the thicker and taller those walls get. The only way you can sell to clients when they are determined to stay safe behind the wall of fear is to be smart and use an approach that the human brain understands. Specifically, the part of the brain that also is the seat of fear. Well, we call it the limbic brain. And that's what we look into over the next few minutes. We will specifically look into five tactical steps that you can take to systematically tackle this wall of fear. Note that I'm not using the word break. We need to just tackle. And when we do it well, clients will slowly dismantle the wall, brick by brick. Interestingly, the snake oil salesman on horseback used four of these five tactics. The reason the word snake oil salesman is today used to refer to someone selling a gimmick is because they did not use the fifth tactic. So pay close attention to the fifth tactic. And when you learn all these five tactics, you can use these in your sales pages, sales letters, in your sales conversations, emails, and wherever else. So pay close attention and let's get started with the first tactic to tackling fear so we can sell to our clients and win their hearts, and of course, their wallets. Kindle desire. History has shown us the importance of desire. Desire is what led Adam and Eve to be exiled from the Garden of Eden. It's the desire that led mankind to build ships to explore what lies beyond the seas. Desire has driven mankind to invent the atom bomb and to establish world peace too. The Buddha famously once said that desire is the root cause of all miseries. Well, that quite leads us astray from our topic today, but let's stick to desire. If there is one thing that's 100% true about desire, it's that desire drives people to take action. The desire to get rid of a bad headache leads people to looking for a pain gel or a pill. It's because people desire a better life that they end up looking for business opportunities and jobs. But these desires are not always top of mind. There is so much going on in our lives that our thoughts are not necessarily centered around this desire. In other words, unless I have a very bad headache, I am not going to be looking for a pill or a pain balm. If I don't need money desperately, I will not be looking for an opportunity or a solution to make more money. The same goes with our clients too. No matter what course or info product you sell, your clients are not necessarily feeling the urge for that problem. And it's on you to help trigger this desire. You need to kindle this desire so they feel that need to fulfill that desire. Well, sometimes it could be that they need to be reminded of the problem that they are trying to get rid of. And other times, it's about the promise that they want to get to. So, that's step one. You need to kindle your clients and target buyers' deepest desire. Step number two, give them a reason why. Well, we always need a reason to do something. In the movie Cars, Lightning McQueen gives up winning the Piston Cup because he wanted to make a difference. He didn't want King to end up a bitter old washed-up car like Hudson Hornet. Adam and Eve took a bite of the forbidden fruit because they wanted to be like God and know the good and evil. Well, if these are just stories, let's look at real life. You may choose to buy an expensive Apple MacBook as opposed to some other laptop because of a specific reason. It could be a technical reason, or it could be a social reason, or sometimes a personal reason. Maybe you want to look cool, or maybe you want to fit in with a group of people, or be seen as somebody significant. If you went to the market and bought oranges and not bananas, you have a reason. You don't wear or use leather products? Well, if that's the case, you have a reason why you do that. Are you a vegan? You have a reason too. And your clients have these reasons too, as to why they buy or prefer buying some things as compared to many others. And it's your job to understand these reasons and remind them of those reasons. Let's say you sell courses that teach your target buyers how to clear complex tech interviews in top software companies. Well, if that's the case, remind your clients why they want those jobs in top software companies in the first place and what those jobs can do to them. Show them how your course can get them those results. Give them a reason why they should pick your course amidst several other similar courses out there in the market. And that's step two. Let's now look at step three. Handle objections. Well, growing up in India was fun. And shopping in India is even more fun. Well, back when I was 13 or 14, I remember this one time my grandparents had come visiting us and my grandma wanted to go shopping for saris. Well, it's a dress that women wear in this part of the world. While I enjoyed a lot of these things about my grandma, shopping was not one of them. She was a very bad shopper. And from the eyes of my then 13-year-old self, she was a rather boring shopper. It was a bright summer day, and I remember we had already been to a handful of sari stores, and she would get the salesman to show all the saris from the shelves. And after he pulled out over 30 or 40 saris, she would get up and leave. She'd not buy even one. And the frustration was pretty visible in the eyes of the salesman. But then we landed in this one store that I just cannot forget. My grandma, like she did in the previous stores, got the salesman to show a lot of saris. But this salesman was different. Unlike the salesmen in the other stores who asked my grandma for her budget, this guy asked my grandma for the occasion. I remember this clearly because my grandma told him that she was buying a sari for her 50th wedding anniversary. And I remember exactly what the salesman did. He immediately looked at my grandpa and asked him for what sari my grandma was wearing on her wedding day. And my grandpa, I remember, said mustard. And the salesman started to show saris that had mustard color on them. After showing every few saris, he asked my grandma, "Do you like these kinds of saris?" And he closely observed her reactions. If she looked at the price tag, he'd respond, "Here's another one that's priced lesser." And once she responded, "No, the price is okay," he would go on to show slightly more expensive saris. When we finally left the store, my grandma ended up buying not one, but two saris. Were the saris any different from those in the other stores? At least from my then 13-year-old self, definitely not. What was different was the way the salesman handled my grandma's objections. Every single time he sensed her objection through her reaction or what she uttered, he immediately handled it. When she said that this color doesn't suit me, he'd counter by asking my grandpa. Or he'd just show an image of a celebrity film star wearing a sari with a similar color, and my grandma would immediately have that smile on her face. By handling objections effectively, you slowly remove the fear from the minds of your clients, helping them walk towards the sale. And that's what the salesman did to my grandma. And that brings us to the end of the third step. Let's quickly recap and see what we looked at so far. Well, we looked at three steps to tackling fear so we can sell to our clients and win their hearts and their wallets. But in step one, we looked at kindling desire. And step two, it was all about giving your clients a reason why. And in step three, we looked at how important it is to handle objections of your clients. And now let's look at step four, show them the proof. Well, you heard me talk about the sari salesman using celebrity pictures to convince my grandma, but that's just the tip of the iceberg called proof. Not all proofs are equal, and not all proofs produce similar results. That's because proofs play definitive roles in a sale. Here are some ways proofs help strategically break fear. The first kind of fear that a proof can help overcome is best framed as a question: will this work? And proofs are great devices you can use to show them that your product indeed works. And the second kind of proof is a nuanced version of the previous one, and it's best framed in the question: will this work or look good on me? Well, the proof that the sari salesman used in my example with my grandma was to tackle this kind of fear. The third kind of proof is, will this work for this purpose? If you are selling a hammer, then the question is, will this also work to break open a nut? Will this flashlight also help protect myself? And basically, with these questions, what the client is trying to ask is this going to help me with my specific purpose? The fourth kind of proof helps fill in the gaps in your marketing. Sometimes there are things that your marketing doesn't focus on, and proofs can help fill these gaps. And these differences can help you differentiate from the competition. and they can help your clients feel safe that your product is indeed clearly different from the competing products. Well, there are many more ways to use proof to dismantle fear, but the important point is to use proof after having done the steps that we discussed so far. Proof just helps the previous steps work better to help your clients make a buying decision. So let's now move on and look at the last and the final step, which is the fifth one. The four steps that we discussed up until this point is something even the snake oil salesmen used. These men on horsebacks would visit a new town with their products, sell them, and leave that town that very day. They did everything to kindle desire, give you the reasons why, handle any or all of your objections, and give you enough proof too. But what they didn't do is what we are just about to see, which is the fifth step. And that's removing the risk. When I was a kid, my parents signed me up for a swimming class. There were lots of kids in the class, but the coach never got into the pool himself. Kids would swim and there were lifeguards near the pool. I was never confident if this coach could really teach me. What would happen if I drowned while trying to learn to swim? Could this coach teach me swimming from outside the pool? These questions really bothered me. And in my mind, not having answers to these questions posed a risk to me and my parents. Even when you look at a product like a course or an info product, you are reducing the risk even when you handle the objections or use proof. But there's more than just that. What will happen if your course doesn't work? Can I return your course? Is the seller real? Do you have a physical address? Are you qualified to be selling this product? Do you have a skin in the game? Are you backing your claim and your promise with a guarantee? Well, is the payment gateway safe? What happens after I click the buy button? Will the website vanish tomorrow morning? Well, these are real questions, and you need to answer or handle these questions explicitly. And that's the fifth step that you need to take to remove fear from the minds of your clients, which will help them walk towards the sale. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. It's a short one, but a very important one. Let's quickly summarize what we covered so far. First, we started by looking at the first step, which is kindling desire. You need to kindle desire in your clients because they are not always remembering what they desire. So you need to start by kindling desire. And when you do that, you move on to step two, which is when you give them a reason why. Because not everybody knows why they need to pay attention. So you need to help them recall why they need to pay you attention. And step three is to handle the objections, because that's what the limbic brain does. The lizard brain or the limbic brain is an expert at just throwing up red flags, and you need to handle these objections. And you need to do these in the best interest of your client. The fourth step is to show them the proof, because proof is what gets them over the speed bump. And then when they cross the proof, it's the home stretch. And that's where we come with step five, which is to reverse or remove the risk. And these are the five steps you need to take no matter what you do. It could be writing a sales letter, or it could be an email or a VSL or a telephone conversation with a client. No matter what you do, if you're trying to sell your idea, a product or a service, these are the five steps you will need to take in order to overcome this fear that your clients always have. As usual, you can find the detailed steps in the Launch Plan workbook, which has not just the steps, but also examples that you can use in your business. You can download a copy of the workbook at designyourthinking.com/launch. And now let's look at what's happening inside the labs. Well, we've been a lot focused on doing a beta around the Irresistible Offer Playbook course. It's our newest course, and we hope to open the doors in December. To tell you the truth, this course was never on the top of the list for us. But we started noticing something strange when I started to work with clients on writing sales pages for their launches and their websites. What they were looking for was a guarantee. Will this copy guarantee sales? Will this sales page convert at a certain percentage? Can I get a guaranteed number of sales from people visiting my website? Well, these questions came from people that have run businesses. And I only will be a fool to give them this guarantee, because you know, and I know this, that when it comes to business, there's no guarantee. But there's definitely a method. It's not like shooting in the dark. You need to have a high-quality list with a specific problem, an offer that specifically addresses that problem, and a copy that can make a specific promise and effectively lay out an argument why the client should buy your offer. Well, that's it. And if you do these three diligently, there's no way that you can not get the results you want. You need to iterate smartly, and it's just a matter of time when you get what you want. I work with clients on both offers and the copy. No matter it's a website or a sales page or emails, I always do a series of workshops, which I call as the offer workshops. These workshops are focused on only one thing: finding the right offer that's optimized for sales. And that's what I teach inside the Irresistible Offer Playbook course. You learn exactly how to turn your ideas to offers and systematically build irresistibility into it. It's based on science and psychology, so there is absolutely no voodoo here. The goal of the course is not to teach you the process, but help you master it. Because I believe that every entrepreneur or solopreneur or creator or business owner, or however else you describe yourself, needs to be an expert at creating offers. With this course, you will be able to create offers in under 2 hours. And that's about the time it takes to watch Die Hard, my favorite movie, or 2 episodes of The Game of Thrones. It's not about dropping your prices and stacking up bonuses. Well, I know you've heard of this before. Me too. And we know that's just scratching the surface. There's more to it. The course is based on psychology and science, so it's not that I teach you to paint the Mona Lisa and you try to recreate it. Well, it's like dropping a rubber ball on a hardwood floor. You know it will bounce back and you can measure it. And here's a bonus. I've included a fast-track version of the course inside this course. No, nobody has done this with online courses in my experience, and I've signed up for a ton of courses in my life. So our goal with this is to make you an expert, just like a Navy SEAL. I don't want to share too much here, but here's the point. The Navy SEALs are never alone behind enemy lines. They are always connected with the control center. However tempting it is to spill the beans, I am going to stop myself right here. And yes, we are opening this course for just a roomful of people to sign up in December. So if you want to be the first one to know about this freshly minted course, hop on the waitlist. It's at designyourthinking.com/IOP freebies. That's Irresistible Offer Playbook freebies. So IOP freebies. And we'll send you some freebies just for being on the waitlist. And you'll be the first one to know when it's out. And before I sign out, if you don't have a marketing plan for your business, visit designyourthinking.com/plan to download a free 90-day marketing plan that I have put together for your business. And while you're there, if you take a simple quiz on that page, you can even get a customized plan for your business. It's not a scary 50-page document. So go ahead. The goal is simple: to get you started. The link is designyourthinking.com/plan. And that's all I have for you today. I'll see you in the next episode. Cheers and be well, my friend.